I couldn't quite work out how it would fit into the service. I've been pondering on it even this morning. I was up at 5 o'clock with the scripture open thinking, Lord, what do I do with the scripture? And it's just come to me now what I need to do with it this morning. As we turn our attention to the table, to the broken body, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe the people here this morning who need that scripture prayed over their lives. These people here, especially this morning, who are battling with health issues. I may be one of them, but there may be many others as well. It's not about me, it's about you this morning. And I want us to just take a moment as you receive the bread, as you receive the cup this morning. I really want to invite those of you to take a little step of faith and to move from where you're sitting, just to come and join me at the front here. We're not going to make a big deal about it, but we're going to pray and trust God Almighty to have His hand upon your life and to do a work of healing in your body. Can we do that? And I'm going to pray the scripture over you because I believe God gave it to me for a special reason this morning. So those who are serving can join me. The Bible says on the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took a piece of bread, He broke it, and He said, this piece of bread represents my body which is broken for you. As often as you eat the bread, you remember my broken body. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And He said, this cup is a symbol, a sign of something very powerful. My blood, which is shed for your sins. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And so this morning we thank the Lord for the cross. We thank Him for grace. We thank Him for mercy. We thank Him for forgiveness. But we also thank Him that from that atonement flows spiritual healing, but also flows physical healing. And I want to invite those of you who are struggling, be it in your body or even in your mind, to come and join us up front. We're going to pray that scripture over your life and trust God for a mighty work in your life this morning. Father, we thank You that You tell us to remember the cross, to remember the broken body, the shed blood of Jesus. Because, Lord, our faith begins and ends at Calvary. If there were no cross, there would be no faith. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank You for dying in our place and for our sins. We thank You, Lord, that by Your stripes we have been healed spiritually, washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven of our debt we could never pay, reconciled to God, reconciled to each other. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the cross this morning. But Lord, we also recognize that Jesus Christ is the name above every other name. And Lord, we recognize that from the name of Jesus, healing flows. And so, Father, we pray this morning for those who are ill, those who are battling with discomfort or sickness or disease, that in Your grace again this morning, Father, You would place healing hands upon people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the elements go around this morning, I invite you, if you're one of those, please come and join me up front. We'll pray that scripture over your life. If I can ask the elders to join me up front as well, that would be great. And Paula as well could join me. It'll be wonderful. And also Bronnie. I'd like Bronnie Hall also to join me up front as well.
Find me in the river. Find me on my knees.
That's right, folks. Just come up here to the front. That's wonderful.
That's fine. I've walked against the water. Now I'm waiting if You please. We've longed to see the roses, but never felt the thorn. Bought our pretty crowns, but never paid the price. Oh, find me, Lord. Find me in the river.
Well, folk, that's wonderful. Find just come up, that's fine.
Find me on my knees with my soul in bed.
You can just go.
Even though I'm weak and I'm crying. Find me in the river. I'm waiting here.
If I can just ask the worship and just to be quiet for a moment. This is just a special moment. I really believe that God's got something amazing in store. And there's an element of faith, folk, in this process. There's an element where you've got to, in a sense, open your hands to the Lord. It doesn't have to be physically, but in your heart, you're saying, Lord, I'm here to receive something from you this morning. And as you receive this anointing oil, it's a symbol of the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. And I would encourage you, if you're in the audience, you're not up front, I want you to participate as well. You align your faith with us this morning. Let's trust God collectively for His hand of healing upon those who are up front here today. Folk, I don't know what your problem is. You may be suffering from something serious. You may be just feeling emotionally overwhelmed. You may be mentally just feeling very depressed and very down. But all I do know is that Jesus Christ is able to meet you at the point of your need. He's done it before, and He can do it again. I absolutely believe there's nothing beyond the ability of Jesus Christ to do. There's no body that's too broken for Him to fix. There's no soul that's too broken that He can't restore. And I want you to know He's going to touch you today, not because you're a good, deserving person. He's going to touch you this morning because He's a gracious, kind, and loving Father. That's why He's going to do it. He's going to show you this morning how kind He is, how good He is. So I want to encourage you. These words I'm going to read, I think, were given to me for a reason. And as I read them to you this morning and pray them over your life, I pray them over my life as well. Because I'm in need of them just as much as you are. The writer of these words is a man by the name of David. He's been through the most difficult time of his whole life. In fact, he got to a point where some of you have maybe got to where he thought he couldn't carry on. Life was just too hard. He was overwhelmed to the point of death. But God brought him to a place of victory, and after that place arrived, he penned these beautiful words, and I pray you'd receive them this morning. He says this: "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the strength of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord." That's you this morning. That's me. "We will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies." Father, I thank you this morning that you have not changed. You are the same God that David wrote about and worshipped all those years ago. And Lord, this morning we recognize you to be our rock, our firm foundation, our fortress, our deliverer. Lord, you're the strength of our life. Lord, this morning we call upon the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, the Anointed One. And Father, we pray that out of your mercy, your grace, your love this morning, and in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would pour out healing right now upon your children. Lord, we receive it. We open our hands. We receive from your generous hands this morning. Lord, for those who are suffering from physical disability or physical illness, I pray for strength. I pray, Lord, for wholeness, for healing to flow through their bodies. This morning, in Jesus' name. Father, for those who are overwhelmed with discouragement, depression, anxiety, worry, Father, may they be reminded this morning that you are the strength of their life. You are the solid rock, Father, that never changes, and that you love them with an everlasting love. And so, Father, in simple faith, like little children coming to their dad, we just come before you, our Heavenly Father, this morning. And we say, God, touch our lives, please. Touch our lives, please, Lord. We receive it. And as we receive it, Lord, we honor you and we thank you. For you are a wonderful, kind, and gracious Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, folk. May you be blessed this morning. Thank you so much. Yeah. If you haven't received your cup and your bread. Oh, that's yours, girl. This is mine. We just want to wait until everyone's received and we'll eat and drink together. Folk, if you haven't received, just slip your hand up and we'll make sure you get. There we go, some ladies in the middle. Guys, need a few in the middle there on the side. Marcus needs at the back there as well. Just slip up your hand again, guys. We can see you there. Anybody else? Mark on the left-hand side there, Liam, just behind you. Liam, poor Mark is still waiting. I've got. Miles and Sandy, I know you're also waiting there. Billy and Maver. Side, yeah, please. Yeah. Folk, I don't know about you, but I feel mighty encouraged. I feel so thankful for the cross, don't you? And so it's the broken body, it's the shed blood. Let's eat and drink together with grateful hearts. Thank you, Lord. Right, if you got your Bibles, folk, you can turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're continuing in our exciting series in the book of 1 Corinthians. And so we're going to read just five verses this morning from chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and some really powerful verses from verse 1 through verse 5. Just while they're collecting the glasses, to wish Karen and Kevin a happy 25th wedding anniversary for Tuesday. 25, not out. Well done, guys. You are such wonderful friends and just a blessing to all of us. And then, folk, don't forget, I think it's the 5th of March, a Saturday morning, we're going up to the Mighty Men Breakfast up in King Williamstown. We're taking the church bus and other vehicles as well, so it's open to men and women this time around. Angus Buckins, the speaker. Please, as you leave, if you want to join us for that breakfast, put your name down on the sheet, the sign-up sheet for transport. We'll organize you a lift, and that's going to be a fantastic time together in King. Right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's read together. And our brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but rather in the power of God. I just love the way Paul begins in verse 1 when he says, I came to you. Paul clearly didn't wait for the people of Corinth to come to him. He made a plan to go to the people of Corinth. And he realized more than likely these people that were trapped in drunkenness, in sexual immorality, in corruption, the chances of these people waking up on a Sunday morning after a hard night out at the casino and the pub, and thinking, well, I think I'll make my way to church this morning, he realized that was unlikely to happen. And so what he realized is, because they're not going to come to me, I'm going to find a way to take Jesus and the church to them. And when Paul did that, folk, I tell you what, he followed the example of Jesus, because listen to these words, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now, what kind of world did God love? A perfect world full of perfect people? God loved a broken world full of broken, dysfunctional, sinful people, like those in Athens, and those in Corinth, and those in Ganubi, and those in Istanbul, and those in Vegas, and those in Rio de Janeiro, all around the world. God loves the world. And so he said, I'm not going to wait for them to come to me, because that's never going to happen. Their hearts are hardened. They're full of sin and rebellion. And I'm going to send, not an angel, not an archangel, I'm going to send Jesus Christ to rescue, deliver, and save them. Jesus came to us. Before we ever thought about loving Him, He loved us. Before we ever thought about searching after Him, He came looking for us. John 1 verse 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word is Jesus, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now listen to this. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. Joan Osborne, you may or may not recognize the name, very famous singer. She once sang that worldwide hit, What If God Was One of Us? Little did Joan know, she was actually singing the truth. Because the Bible says God left the glory of heaven. Jesus became a man. He lived amongst men. And He came to rescue us and to save us and to deliver us. And what I loved about Jesus, and what I do love about Jesus, was if you research the scriptures, folk, you will see Jesus did something extraordinary. Jesus specialized in finding ways, often creative ways, to move beyond the confines and boundaries of synagogues and temples. He found ways to cross cultural boundaries, geographical boundaries, social boundaries, and he found ways to export his product, so to speak, beyond the walls of buildings into the hearts and lives of tax collectors, prostitutes, drunkards, and ordinary fishermen. And that's why Jesus earned the reputation as being the friend of sinners. God, the friend, not of the Pharisees and Sadducees and righteous people, God, the friend of sinners. And then Jesus went a step further. And he spoke these powerful words, which literally take a person's breath away when you hear them. He said this, "As the Father sent me, as the Father sent me to the broken, lost, hurting people of this world, so send I you." And then he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. I've given you the mandate and I'm giving you the power to get the job done. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you, I'm sending you, I'm sending you with the power of the Holy Spirit to go and get the job done." Yesterday we had breakfast, Paul and I, at the Ganubi Hotel. They got a 40 Rand special there on a Saturday and a Sunday. And we enjoy going there every now and again. And while we were having breakfast, the manager of the hotel, some of you may know him, his name's Ed, a wonderful friend of the church and of mine, came and sat with us for about 20 minutes, had a chat with us. And thereafter, I noticed the guy behind the bar was also one of our locals here at the church. And I just realized, and I went to them and I said, "Ed, Pete, do you guys realize the privileged position you find yourselves in? There are people coming to this place that will never, ever come to the church. Thank you, Jesus, for placing Ed in the hotel. Thank you for placing Pete behind the bar. Pete, recognize God's going to use you, my man, to bring hope and light and encouragement and direction in this context, in this environment." And then I thought about our church. I thought about someone like Shanna, nursing sister in the ICU at St. Dominic's, helping, serving people in the most critical of conditions, rubbing shoulders with doctors and nursing staff, families of patients who are already critically ill. Shanna, "As the Father sent me," Jesus would say, "so send I you. Go in the power of my Spirit." I think about my mate Nick Pike, Springbok surfer, expert fisherman. He's out on the waves with people who would never dream of darkening a church building. "Nick, as the Father sent me, so send I you to Nahoon Reef, Ganubi Point, Black Rock. Go, Nick, in the power of my Spirit and make me known to the surfers of East London." And then I thought about those of you in business. I thought about those of you in education. Those of you who live in retirement centers like Settlers and those kind of areas. "As the Father sent me," Jesus would say to you this morning, "so send I you, so send I you, so send I you. Go in the power of my Spirit and get the job done." You say, "Mark, when we go, what do we say? What message do we bring?" Well, here's some good news for you. It's not a very complicated message. Because Paul said, "When I went to Corinth, I just specialized on one thing and one thing alone. And it was called the testimony of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing half-faluted, complicated. The simple power of the gospel is enough, Paul realized, to revolutionize Corinth, Gnubi, Beacon Bay, Vincent, and the rest. You see, my friends, the power of God backs the message of God. And the message of God is not complicated. It's just a simple message focused on Jesus. If you've dozed off, I would suggest this would be a fantastic time to resurrect yourself. Because we cannot bypass this. If you even give your neighbor an elbow, because the gospel, we're living in a world so full of bad news. My friends, the church is characterized by good news. Good news. The gospel. Jesus died in your place for your sins. His body was taken from the cross, placed in a tomb, stone rolled across the grave. But on the third day, that same Jesus Christ, he rose again. My friends, today, I'm telling you, we don't serve a dead, powerless Jesus Christ. We serve a risen, living, majestic, supreme, all-powerful Jesus, whose gospel still changes lives. The gospel, that's all we bring. We don't complicate it. We don't look for things we shouldn't be looking for. We keep it simple. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. I sometimes think we love to complicate things. I remember coming back from Turkey. I had my interview with the Baptist Ministerial Recognition Board to see if I qualified to be a pastor. They said, Mark, are you a premillennialist or a postmillennialist or a dispensationalist? I said, chaps, I think I'm a panmillennialist. They said, there's no such thing as a panmillennialist. I said, there is. Everything pans out in the end. I said, I've read the end of the book, my friends, and Jesus wins. Jesus wins. My friends, we can call post-millennials, pre-millennials, dispensations. I'm like, just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. New beginnings, new life, new hope in Jesus. What does Gnubi need? Jesus. Your neighbor, what does he need? Jesus. Your child, mom, dad, what do they need? Jesus. Jesus. Paul says, when you go, Jesus. Live it. Breathe it. Speak it. Jesus. Simple message. But here's the best part. Oh my goodness. When the message goes out, what kind of messengers does God want to use? Well, have a look in our text. At verse 3. Surely Paul went to Corinth in power and with great courage and with great charisma. Surely, no. Look what he says in verse 3. I was with you, Corinthians, in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Can somebody like that change Corinth? Somebody in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling? You see, Paul realized, friends, and you need to realize this as well as I do, that God's strength, please listen to this, God's power, God's strength is not going to be manifest in your strength. But God's amazing power and strength is going to be manifest in your weakness. That's why Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's why he writes, therefore, I will gladly boast in my weakness. Why, Paul? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I just want to encourage you this morning, because maybe you feel like I do every now and again. You feel very weak, very vulnerable, very inadequate. And what goes to your mind, you never verbalize it, but is, could God really use somebody like me to make a difference? Well, you know, I'm so grateful for the Bible, folk, because the Bible is just so full of God using the most unlikely people. And I could have shared about 1,000 people this morning, but I wanted to, in the last few minutes, just to end up with one. Because I think all of us can relate to this particular character this morning. There was a man in the Old Testament in the book of Judges chapter 6, a young man. His nation was in crisis, as ours is today. A nation in crisis. Who's God going to use to turn this nation around? Somebody strong, somebody powerful, somebody courageous, somebody famous. No, God comes and finds a young man hiding in a hole in the ground, hoping nobody would see him, nobody would notice him. Hiding. God says, hey, Gideon. What? Who? Oh, you've noticed me. Oh, no. God says, hey, Gideon, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to come out of that pit, out of that hole. And I want to use you to impact your nation, Gideon. No, Lord, that's impossible. I'll give you at least two reasons why it can't be me. I'm from the weakest tribe in Manasseh. And Lord, I'm the youngest and the weakest in my father's house. Can't be me. Lord, there must be somebody that you can find who's more qualified to do this job. Is that you this morning? I know it's me from time to time. Lord, surely if you looked hard enough, you'd find somebody more dynamic, more charismatic, more influential that you could use. Well, God says something to this man that's going to take your breath away now this morning. God speaks to that man in that hole. Inferiority complex. Can't be me. Can't do it. God says to that same man, rise up, you mighty warrior. Rise up, you mighty man of fearless courage. Was God confused? Did God not know who the man in the hole was? My friends, when God spoke to Gideon, listen to this. God spoke to what he knew Gideon could become in him. And in him, in God's strength, with God's power, even this weak, cowardly man had the potential to become a mighty warrior for the kingdom of God. I just know God wants to speak those same words over your life this morning. Rise up, you mighty warrior. Rise up, you mighty man or woman of fearless courage. This is not about the great things you're going to do for God. Believe me. This is about the great things God can and will do in and through your life as you make yourself available to Him. Simple message. Delivered by a simple messenger. Backed by the power of God. I beg of you this morning, my friends, respond. Respond. The way Isaiah responded all those years ago. He said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, I see the need all around me. At work, I see the need. At school, I see the need. In Ganubi, I see the need. Lord, I hear the mandate to go. Not to wait, but to go. I'm available. Simple messenger. And Lord, as I go, I take the gospel, Jesus, through my life and through my words. I'll bring that message to those who need to hear, a message of hope and deliverance from the hand of God. I want us just to spend a moment now before we go through to the coffee hall, just to bow our heads in prayer. Won't you please hear the words of God? Won't you please hear the words of Jesus again as you contemplate a new week going out into business, education, your retirement center, wherever you happen to go tomorrow morning? Won't you please hear these words again from Jesus? As the Father sent me, so send I you, and you, and you, and you. And as you go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I want to pray for a second group of people this morning. I really believe that this is urgent, it's important. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I really believe that there's someone this morning or a group of people who need this morning to respond to the simple gospel message. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. You've never embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your God, your King. Today's the day that's going to happen for you. If you'd like for me to pray for you this morning, won't you just, where you are, no one's looking around where you are, just slip up your hand, please, and I want to pray for you this morning. It'll be my great joy and honor to do so. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, guys. Just put it down. It's fine. It's brilliant. I'm going to pray a prayer, and these are just my words, but I want them to be your words as well, please. And this morning you say, Jesus, I recognize you to be a Savior. And not just a Savior, the only Savior. Thank you that you love me enough to die for me, to lay down your life for me. You died in my place and for my sins. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning I recognize my spiritual bankruptcy. I recognize my need for a Savior. And so, Lord, I repent of my sin. And as I turn away from sin, I turn towards you, Lord Jesus. And I gratefully receive your grace, your forgiveness, your cleansing. I thank you that right now you're wiping my slate clean. And you're removing my past and my sin and my failure as far as the east is from the west, to give me a brand new chance to live. And not just to live in my own strength, but to live in the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that today I've become a child of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Folk, it's very seldom I do this, but I really think we should just, can we give the Lord a clap? I don't know if it's appropriate, but I think we should. God is amazing. Thank you so much for coming. It's been a wonderful service. Coffee, tea waiting for you. Those who lifted their hands, I actually brought a box of books here this morning. I'd love to give you one. So what I'm going to do is leave it up front here. If that was you, just please grab a book. Help yourself to it, and we look forward to seeing you again next Sunday. Thank you so much.